Well, hello, friends. This is Mark DeMatteo coming at you with another brand new message going out to our Great Questions group on this fifth day of January 2016. I'm actually bringing to you message number 45. The title is Considering Time Part 2. Considering Time Part 2, examining the third core component of the cosmos. Subtitle could be, folks, The Reality of Being Time-Bound Part 1. And I trust this finds each of you doing well. And as we get started here, let me just say a quick welcome to those of you that have joined us since our last message. And to remind you, especially if you are new, that these messages are an ordered series, and all my previous audios are posted on my website, which is markdematteo.com, my first and last name, all run together, .com. That's markdematteo, and again, .com. Okay? Well, all right. Are you all ready? Because I am. So let's get rolling here. And as we get started here, folks, here we are, fresh into another new year, 2016. Let me wish you all a happy new year. And trust everyone has had a good one, a good holiday, Christmas holiday season. And as we get started, in a unique way, I suppose it is fitting that I'm doing our second message on the subject of time as we approach this new year. Folks, gosh, I am old enough to remember back in the 70s, 80s, and even 90s when people would talk about the year 2000, Y2K, the new millennium. And at the time, it seemed quite futuristic. And yet now, here we are rolling into the 21st century, and 16 years have gone by already. Isn't that amazing? It's hard to believe in some way, isn't it, folks? So perhaps it is in a good context in which we begin our topic today. Actually, in our previous message, we took a brief objective look at time, and I shared some general but interesting aspects concerning this third cosmic component that my studies had revealed to me in regard to its nature and probable origin based on the empirical evidence. Additionally, it further amplified my awareness of a general condition that has served as a key motivator in my pursuit of finding answers to the great questions, that of inadequacy. And as a matter of fact, if you've been following along, you have heard me refer to that theme quite a bit because it was a big motivator. The fact that I was becoming much more acutely aware of the pervasive limitations we are all living under, a significant portion of which are due to the constraints imposed on us by the nature of this three-part cosmic construct, space, mass, and time. We've already talked about the constraints of matter and power. We've also already talked about the constraints of space. Now we're going to focus on time. And this certainly does apply to this unique aspect of time. For as in the case of my studies of matter and space, my examination, as I've already referred to, kind of ad-lib there, my examination of this third component enhanced my awareness of the restrictions it imposed upon us, but folks, on a level I had never realized before. So we are now going to take a look at some of these limitations, and we are going to do so subjectively. In other words, as it relates to and impacts our actual everyday lives. And folks, as we do so, not only will you all probably relate, for once again, we all live in the exact same world, but furthermore, I think you will all no doubt more fully appreciate, as I did, that of the three, the confinement imposed upon us by existing within this condition of time are surely the most extensive. So to begin with, time is something we are obviously all stuck in, right? It is a phenomenon we cannot escape. In a unique way, it governs our existence and the existence of everything else in the cosmos. We are born into time, we live in time, and we will die in time. We are also trapped within its flow. Time moves continuously, and consequently, so do we. We have no choice in the matter, right? Folks, I have a clock sitting on my desk here in my office. I can look over and see it right now, as a matter of fact. And every once in a while, I have found myself staring at it, reflecting on this reality. I will occasionally watch the second hand move and try to grasp the magnitude of what is really going on. With one little click at a time, it is a tangible representation of the gradual movement of the whole of reality. The seconds, minutes, hours, and the days, months, and years all roll relentlessly by, ever moving forward, carrying us and everything else along with them. And we are seemingly powerless to intervene, for no one has ever been able to halt the flow, to make time stand still, if you will. Rather, it moves patiently but persistently, onward like a mighty ever-flowing river in which we cannot stop nor get out of, okay? Or which we cannot stop or get out of. Let me read that line to you again. Rather, it moves patiently but persistently onward like a mighty ever-flowing river which we cannot stop nor get out of. There you go, okay? That's why I try to keep notes here so I stay on track also. Consequently, we are confronted with the reality of constant change in our lives with little, if any, real permanency. It didn't take long for this reality to dawn on me, even as a kid. Folks, when we're children, we tend to think of other people we know as being fixed in age, right? We look around, we look at our brothers and sisters, siblings, if you will, and we're all young. We look at our parents, maybe some aunts and uncles, and they're all middle age. And our grandparents are old. We categorize them. Those are the old people, those are the not so or the middle people, and we are the young people. But it often doesn't take long for us to begin to realize that the conveyor belt, if you will, is moving. And we are all quickly being carried along from youth to middle age, to old age, to eventually die in one long, long passing parade of humanity. When this reality begins to sink in, it is then we often wish we could somehow control that conveyor belt and perhaps slow it down some, if not stop it altogether, right? And this brings me to another point. The fact that we have no control whatsoever over the rate at which time passes. There have been so many times in my life, as I'm sure there have been in yours, when I would have loved to have been able to have altered the rate at which time passed. I mean, who hasn't often wished that time could slow down when we're engaged in something enjoyable and also speed up when we're doing something unpleasant? The irony is that the exact opposite seems to be the case, for it usually appears that time passes way too quickly when we're having fun and far too slowly when we're not, right? Furthermore, I have often found it interesting that you and I only have access to one instant of time at a time. In other words, we are also all stuck in the perpetual present. The only place we get to live is in the now we are in at the moment. And you and I cannot skip ahead any more than we can back up. For while we have experienced the past and will, hopefully, experience the future, the only portion of time we can actually, tangibly experience is the moment we are actually in at that moment. Additionally, it should also be further noted that we have only experienced our portion of the past and will all only, again, hopefully experience our portion of the future. For our specific allotment of time, even if we live a long, full life, is a mere tiny sliver of the overall past we know of and the potential future yet to come. I always thought that was very profound when I thought about it. The little tiny sliver of time we live in. Pretty amazing. The constraints of time also compel me to reflect on two noble concepts, patience and priorities. Patience, because time most certainly does not rush. As far as we know, it moves at the same steady rate today it always has, neither speeding up nor slowing down since the dawn of its inception. On the contrary, our high-speed, technologically advanced civilization is seemingly becoming ever more frantic and impatient. It would appear we have moved even beyond what we might call a microwave society to one where we are often in such a hurry that we don't just want things quickly or even instantly, we now often want them yesterday, right? Can anybody relate to that? I sometimes can. Wish it wasn't that way. And yet, folks, time does not cater to this craze. Rather, it continues to flow unhurriedly by, totally unaffected by the accelerating merry-go-round of modern human life. And regardless of how much we might sometimes feel like we'd like to be able to get the future here sooner, we will still have to simply wait, for time will bring the future to pass at the same rate it always has. So, the nature of time teaches us that in some instances, we will have to just wait. And more importantly, perhaps, that it's actually okay to do so and might even be better if we did so patiently. And then, folks, priorities. Because time only allows us the opportunity to live each moment once. I'm sure all of us have figured out the obvious reality that once a portion of time passes us by, it moves into our past and it stays there. We cannot press rewind or restart and do it over again, right? Rather, we get only one shot with each moment, and that is it. Once they're gone forever. This was especially significant to me because I wasn't too far along in this life when I realized I only had a limited number of moments that I was going to be able to live. For the bottom line is, folks, I knew I was terminal. There was going to be an inevitable, unavoidable stop at the end. The clock was ticking from the moment I was born, and the sobering thing is, I still don't know just how much time I've actually got. And as I've already shared in an earlier message, the sudden death of one of my friends when we were both 19 put a very fine point on this reality for me. Consequently, we have to choose what we're going to do with our allotted time. Folks, within reason, we can do anything we want to do, but we cannot do everything we want to do, so we are forced to select. Even Ben Franklin, a wise old gentleman from America's founding era, had a great quote on this topic that I'll share with you. Here it is. Dost thou love life? Then don't squander time, for time is the stuff life's made of. Right? Simple and concise. If you love life, don't waste time, because time is what life is made of. Therefore, it would be wise for us to decide what we want to do most, because we only have so much life in which to do it. This is why time compels us to prioritize, to choose, and then focus on what's most important to us. So, the constraints of our third cosmic component have also taught me the benefits of patience and priorities, and I have learned that to be focused and steady is far more effective and usually less stressful than being scattered, blurred, and frantic. And there you go, a few life coaching thoughts at no extra charge, right? And yet, regardless of how well we might learn to do this, It still did not solve, folks, the overall dilemma of simply not having enough time to do most, let alone all, the things we might like to be able to do in this life. For even at the very best, gang, if perhaps we are fortunate enough to live a long and full life, how long can it really last? 80 years? 90? Maybe 100? Maybe even 110 years? But does anyone know of anyone living to, say, 120 or 130 these days? Probably not. For even people that pass the century mark are the exception rather than the rule. Bottom line is, our time to be alive is short, and sometimes way too short. And this is another universal deficiency of this current existence. Folks, as just one example of this, I can remember an old song by a gentleman by the name of Jim Croce from the early 70s called Time in a Bottle. I'm sure many of you have probably heard it, for not only did it hit number one on the charts back then, it is actually still relatively popular even today as a classic soft folk rock song. Its words resonate with this theme of our time being short. Here are the first two verses and half of the refrain from that song. And don't worry, I'm not going to try to sing them to you, although it's amazing. Our minds are amazing machines, because you think of the song, you start to say the words of the song, and the tune just pops into your head, and I'm sure it will for those of you that remember it, and it compels me to try to sing it, but again, I'm not going to. But anyway, listen to the words of this. They're pretty compelling. If I could save time in a bottle, the first thing that I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away, just to spend them with you. If I could make days last forever, if words could make wishes come true, I'd save every day like a treasure, and then, again, I would spend them with you. But there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you find them. Man, even if you've never heard it before, who cannot relate to those words? Especially that last line, there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you find them. Gang, the fact is, even if we had all the money in the world, there just simply isn't enough time in any of our lives to first figure out all the things we'd really like to do, and then to do them all, and do them all for as long as we'd like to do them. Okay, if you follow me on that, right? I even remember back when I was a sophomore attending my first year at Notre Dame International School in Rome. One of the seniors that year actually used the lines of that refrain as his yearbook quote. After all these years, it has still stuck with me. For even then, I remember thinking, wow, here we are, only in high school, and the constraints of the brevity of time are already making an impression on us. Folks, additionally, as an ironic and sad but significant footnote, let me read you what was written on Wikipedia regarding Jim in this song, as I was actually trying to verify the lyrics, and this is what I found. Singer-songwriter Jim Croce wrote the lyrics to his song, Time in a Bottle, after his wife Ingrid told him she was pregnant with their first son, Adrian, in December 1970. Actually, it was their first child. Only child. Listen on here. It appeared on his 1972 ABC debut album, quote, You Don't Mess Around with Jim. ABC originally did not intend to release the song as a single, but when Croce was killed in a plane crash in September of 1973, the song's lyrics, dealing with mortality and the wish to have more time, had additional resonance. The song subsequently received a large amount of airplay as an album track and demand for the single or for a single built. When it was eventually released, it became his second and final number one hit. Born in 1943, Jim was only 30 years old when he died. So, folks, this limited time condition, dear friends, has been a fundamental human lament for the whole of recorded history. Yet this is not rocket science, right? We certainly all know this, and I'm sure that each of you have been probably recalling other examples of this reality from your own lives that you could easily share with me. Folks, we just simply don't live long enough. For the allotted portion of our time, even at best, is totally, and we might even say massively, inadequate. And yet, gang, that is not all. For as I further reflected on these constraints time imposed upon us, I also became more fully aware of another somewhat obvious deficiency. Not only does the limited quantity of time plague us, but additionally, so does the limited quality. And that topic, folks, is what we will pick up with in our next message. So until then, gang, this is Marcus D. signing off and wishing you all another wonder-filled day.